In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Last Sunday, we meditate on the one of the famous fathers in the Old Testament about fasting. يوم الحد اللي فات اتكلمنا بنعمة ربنا عن واحد من الأمثلة القوية في الصوم في العهد القديم وهو موسى النبي. And we saw that Moses went on the up to the mountain for two times, every time 40 days, waiting for the tabernacle and also to receive the holy commandments, the Ten Commandments from the hand of the Lord. وشفنا ان موسى النبي صام 40 يوم مرتين على الجبل علشان يتلقى الوصايا والاحكام اللي ربنا اداها له وصفات تابوت العهد وياخد الوصايا العشر من ايد ربنا. اول مره طلع وبعد ما نزل لقى الشعب عبدوا العجل فكسر اللوحين وبعدين ربنا قال له ارجع تاني واطلع فطلع تاني وصام مرة تانية 40 يوم و40 ليلة واخد الوصايا العشر من جديد. At the first time he received the Ten Commandments from the Lord, the description of the tabernacle and all the commandments of the Lord. When he went down the mountain, he found that the children of Israel worshipped the bull. And he broke the two tablets of the tabernacle of the Ten Commandments. And then the Lord asked him to come again. And he went up to the mountain, or upon the mountain, and he fasted another time, 40 days and 40 nights. Today we will not explain the book of Nehemiah, because Nehemiah is a very long book, not by for the size but for the teachings that we can learn from him as an ideal servant of the Lord. Nehemiah was a very famous servant, and he is a very good symbol to those who want to serve in faithfulness. النهاردة طبعا مش هناخد سفر نحمية كله لأن مش هنقدر. طبعا سفر نحمية ده مليان بالتعليم ومليان بالدروس اللي نقدر نستفيد منها كخدام, لأن نحمية يعتبر من الأمثلة الحية العالية في الخدمة. But we will touch only on two main points, or actually one point or one topic, and it was mentioned two times, one at the beginning of the book and the other one I think in chapter 9. هنلمس بس نقطة واحدة في مكانين, مكان الأولاني الأصحاح الأول من سفر نحمية والمكان الثاني الأصحاح التاسع من سفر نحمية. بيقول follow with me from the beginning, the words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Kelsiv in the 20th year, as I was in the Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. This is the first point. Nehemiah was under the captivity, but he was working in the citadel of the king. And as he will mention later, he was the one who used to offer the Jews or the water to the king. And for your information, it was not just a work. No. He used to give the water of the Jews to the king, but before the king received it, he must take some of the water to prove to the king that it was not poisoned. So it was a very dangerous work. It was a very dangerous work. As exactly the one who was at the days of Joseph with the Pharaoh, when he was prisoned and he dreamt a dream, and Joseph explained to him the dream, and as Joseph said, it happened to him. The question here, Nehemiah was in captivity. Nehemiah was working to the king in a strange place. Nehemiah did not have the temple. He did not have sacrifices. He did not have priesthood around him. He had nothing. He was living among a pagan country who worshipped idols. But Nehemiah was still a true Jew, a true believer in God. Nehemiah was praying, and the love which filled his heart towards his people in Jerusalem while he was so far from them was the main reason that the Lord chose him to save the people of Israel and to rebuild Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple and to ask the people to come back to the Lord. How did he do that? When he heard about the distress and reproach that the children of Israel had at that time, he said, I sat down. Sat down means he sat silently to think. And then I wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. This is the way. This is the way. When he wanted to do something, he did not put a plan in his mind. No. He wept. He mourned for many days. How many days? We don't know. Probably a month. Probably more. We do not know. But what we know, that his face was saying that he was not happy after many days of fasting and prayer. اللي حصل ان حمية كان بيخدم الملك هنا وكان من ضمن اللي اتأثروا في بابل وبقية الناس كانوا اليهود كانوا لسه في أورشليم. نحمية في بلد غريبة ما فيهاش هيكل ما فيهاش كهنة ما فيهاش ذبايح ما فيهاش حاجة لكن ربنا كان في قلبه ربنا كان في قلبه محبة ربنا كانت مايلي قلبه وكان يصلي بالرغم من أنه بيشتغل عند الملك لكن بالنسبة لربنا هو كان عبد لله هو كان مخلص لربنا وكان يصلي دايما جسمه كان في بابل لكن قلبه كان في أورشليم اللي فيها الهيكل والعبادة والذبائح ولما جه واحد من الناس من أورشليم يهودي وسألوا عن اليهود وقال له ده اليهود في حالة وحشة جدا متبهدلين يقول قعدت وبكيت ونحت نواح يعني عارف مورند يعني ايه يعني ولا مؤاخذة يعني ربنا يبعد عنكم ما يكون في ميت ولا حاجة يبقى في مورنينج يعني يبقى في نواح واحد بينوح قاعد في بيته مش بس بيبكي كده دموع نازلة لا ده بينوح بصوت عالي وإيه كمان قال وصمت وصليت هو ده يا حبايبي الطريق لو احنا عايزين نصلح أي حاجة لو عايزين نبني أسوار أورشليم اللي هي قلبي المتهدمة ونبني فيها الهيكل لو العبادة مش قوي يبقى نعمل كده نقعد يعني نرجع لنفسنا نبكي يعني نتأسف على خطايانا ننوح على الحاجات الوحشة الكتيرة اللي بنعملها زي المرأة الخاطية اللي غسلت رجلين المسيح بدموعها وإيه كمان ونصوم ونصلي عشان كده نحمية نجح في الرسالة بتاعته لأنه كان يصوم وكان يصلي أيام كتيرة ساعات لما تحصل مشكلة كده نحط إحنا نحط بلان لنفسنا ونقول إيه نعمل كذا وبعدين كذا وبعدين كذا وبعدين كذا طب وفين ربنا الأول نلجأ لربنا أول كل حاجة قل له يا الله إلهي إليك أبكر أجي لك أنت الأول وأطلب منك المعونة أطلب منك الإرشاد وأطلب منك أنك تمد إيدك عشان تصلح الغلط بتاعك لأن أنا يا ربي عاجز عن أني أصلح نفسي It was very right way that Nehemiah did not rely on his wisdom or his power or his plan but actually he depended on the hand of God. That's why he started with fasting and prayer. And these are the first point of the topic of today. If we want to rebuild the destructed walls of our hearts, or rebuild the temple which is not strong enough, we cannot do that with our own hands. But we need to repent, like the sinner woman, to weep and to mourn. The sinner woman who washed the feet of the Lord by her tears and wiped them with her hair. Second point, what did he pray? What did he pray? Did he say, the Lord, look at those people who left you, who are bad people, and help me to serve them? He did not do that. On the contrary, when he prayed, he said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you know you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. He included himself. He said about himself that he is a sinner like them. He did not separate himself from the others. He did not say, these people are sinful people, help me to serve them. He did not do that. He did not say that. He said, I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. جمال بتاعة صلاة نحمية انه لما صلى قال له يا رب انت الاله الحنين، انت الاله الرحيم، ارجوك افتكر وعودك لينا، افتكر عهدك معانا، وبص الى مواعيدك ووصاياك وتحنن علينا. احنا اللي غلطنا، انا وبيت ابويا الخطاه، اتحنن علينا يا ربي واسمع لطلباتنا واحنا تصرفنا غلط. In verse 7 he says, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, scatter you, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. He did not blame God. He did not say, we are your children. How come that you scatter us? How come that you leave us in the hands of the captives? How come that you leave the other nations to torture us and imprison us and take our people, captiving them? He did not say that. He said, we are the sinners. We did not keep your commandments. And you said, if you leave me, I will leave the others to punish. It's a very beautiful point. When you fall in suffering or problems, do not blame God. Blame yourself first and refer what happened not to God, but to your weaknesses, unfaithfulness. نقطة حلوة قوي لما نواجه مشاكل ولا مصاعب ما نقولوش ليه يا رب كده. طب احنا كنا وحشين وبقينا كويسين، طب احنا كنا بعيد عنك وبقينا قريبين، طب احنا دلوقتي ولادك سايبنا ليه؟ فين الاعداء يأسرونا ويبهدلونا؟ ما قالش كده نحمي، قال احنا الغلطانين، احنا اللي فسدنا طرقنا قدامك، احنا اللي عملنا الشر والخطيه، عشان كده انت قلت لنا على اي من ايام موسى لو سبتوني انا هسيب الاعداء عليكم، واحنا فعلا سبناك ونستاهل اللي حصل لنا. We are worthy to what happened to us. This is the humbleness and this is the way that the servant must do if he wants his service to be successful. قعد يصلي مدة طويلة جدا، وبعدين at the beginning he prayed for a long time, and then at the beginning of the second he did not put any solution, he did not put any plan, he just was fasting and praying and that's it. And then look what happened. Look what happened. It came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. To the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before, but he could not hide his sadness because it was truly grief in his heart about the children of Israel who were suffering and in a miserable case. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. Then I become dreadfully afraid. بيقول له انت مالك وشك مكمد كده وتعبان وانت مش عيان؟ لا، ده لازم يبقى حاجة في قلبك مش مظبوطة، ده لازم قلبك تعبان من حاجة. فبيقول مت من الخوف. نحمية مات من الخوف. طب عمل ايه؟ عمل ايه؟ And I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? When we read just the few verses at the end of the chapter 1, we will find that he was praying in the presence of the king before speaking to him, because he was the cup bearer of the king. He said to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He meant the king. He prayed for the king to open his heart towards Nehemiah. But first, he was sorry, he wept, he mourned for many days, he fasted and he prayed again, and in the presence of the king, while he was offering the cup of wine, he was also praying. And the rest of the story you can read alone to know How did the king give him much more than he expected? He gave him everything. He gave him permission to rebuild Jerusalem and to repair the wall and to instruct the destructive areas in Jerusalem. He gave him even the authority on the enemies, so as not to touch him or come against him. The second point for our time is chapter 9. After he built everything, there was a very important point. بعد ما بنى بقى كل حاجة ولما صلى قدام الملك وربنا اداله نعمة في عينين الملك, الملك اداله أكتر مما كان يتصور ولا يتوقع. ملك اداله أوامر واداله ماتيريالز, أدوات يعيد بناء السور ويعيد بناء الهيكل ويعمل كل حاجة, واداله أوامر إن الأعداء ما يجوش ناحيته ولا يكلموه. إيه ده؟ لا كانش متوقع كده. أقصى حاجة إنه يعني كان يقول له يعني أنا هبعت شوية ناس وخلاص لكن لا, الملك ما عملش كده. ايه اللي خلى الملك يعمل ده كله؟ التوبة والصوم والصلاة بتوع واحد بس. What pushed the king to do all of these things to Nehemiah and to Jerusalem? His repentance, his fasting, and his prayers. This is the power of fasting and prayer. That's why the Lord said about Satan, it cannot be cast out except through fasting and prayer. Now the role by the turn of the children of Israel themselves in chapter 9. Chuf'i. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. A servant of God, he started by repentance, fasting, and prayer. Now he was a successful servant who led the children of Israel also to fast, to take sackcloth, and as a sign of repentance, with dust on their heads. Dust on their heads. You know what? Up till now, the other churches this week, in Portugal, in Spain, in Europe, I don't know, in Canada, they have what they call the Carnival. Carnival on Monday and Tuesday, they do every bad thing you can imagine. 65% of the divorce in the year happens on these 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. And on Wednesday, they took the ash and they call it Ash Wednesday and go to the church and repent, crossing their foreheads 3 times as a repentance of, as a sign of repentance. They took just the shape of dusting on their heads as a sign of repentance. I remember when we were in Germany, and at that time the teacher was explaining to the children in the school about what I said, and then a girl, kedakat, 7-8 years old. And she said to him, "Sir, if they wanted to repent on Wednesday, how come that they do all these bad things on Monday and Tuesday?" He didn't find an answer, of course. But anyhow, dust on the heads means repentance. Repentance needs fasting also. Sometimes we say, what's the use of the fasting? What's the use of the fasting? We can repent. Does it differ with the Lord if we eat fasting or non-fasting food, no. It's something you offer for yourself as a sign of regression, as a sign of sorrow, that we are very sorrow. We are repenting from all our hearts, not only but by putting dust on our heads, not only by fasting, but also as the people of Nineveh did. They changed their life and they left the evil that they were living in. هنا النقطة الثانية في الأصحاح التاسع, توبة الناس بتوع أورشليم. مش كفاية أن نبني السور, مش كفاية أنه يبنوا الهيكل, لا, ده لازم كل واحد يتوب, لازم كل واحد يصوم ويهيل التراب على راسه ويقول له ارحمنا ارحمنا ارحمنا, احنا خطاه وعايزين نرجع لك تاني. Nehemiah found that many people took foreign women, foreign ladies to marry, which was completely forbidden. Even some priests and archpriests did that. And Nehemiah provoked them very much, and he ordered them to separate themselves from the foreign people. And he reminded them with what Solomon did. He said, you remember what Solomon did? He destroyed himself by taking foreign women. And it was a sign that we mix our lives, or we come with dealing with people from outside. And this hurts us very much. It was a sign of that. Another thing, he found that some rich people gave the poor people money with bribe. And he said, how come that you be unjust with one another? Give them back the money. Don't be unjust with your brethren. He tried to purify the society again. It's good to build a church, but it's much better to build myself, my heart. جميل ان احنا نبني الكنيسة حلوة ورائعة وبالرخام والذهب والخشب والحاجات العظيمة, لكن اجمل ان احنا نبني في قلبنا بيت لربنا. ايه الفايدة ان انا ابني كنيسة من برا وانا قلبي من جوه خربان, في معاملات مع ناس مش كويسين, في معاملات شريرة مش مظبوطة, بظلم أخويا وبديله بالربا. ربا يعني كان 25% و30% و50%, وساعات كانوا الأغنياء ياخدوا أولاد الفقراء رهن وياخدوهم عبيد. It was very bad. And this is the second point in our book tonight. We did not study the book of Nehemiah. It needs weeks to study. But we put our hands on two points. The reason of the first fasting of Nehemiah was to ask God to help him to rebuild Jerusalem. The second was the repentance. Fasting was mixed with repentance, regression, and coming back to the Lord. That's why tonight, in the first week of the Great Lent, we remind ourselves with the philosophy of fasting. Don't say, oh, the fasting was in the Old Testament. Do not forget that the Lord Himself fasted for us 40 days and 40 nights. Do not forget that the Lord Himself said about Satan that cannot be cast except through prayers and fasting. Don't forget the disciples in the Acts of the Apostles used to fast days. together. Before everything, before selecting the apostles, before repentance, before preaching, before everything, they were fasting even in the New Testament. That's why the church tries to help us. When the church asks us to have one heart, one spirit, one hand, with a very honest and faithful fasting and repentance, which can shaken not only the churches, but the whole world. Be sure that if we fast and pray, if we repent really from all our hearts, that the whole world will change. The whole world will be different. Let us have this faith, and let us begin our fasting with this spirit, asking Him to accept our prayers and spirits. Glory be to Him forever. Amen.